So we heard just 10 pops fucking randomly. And a fellow actor who was in Ursley.
Who played a specific character.
I don't want to call it. I know who it is. But there was a There was a voice of concern. Rightfully so. Because when she heard those pops and I heard those pops, and then I kind of like we made eye contact, and then I made eye contact with other crew members, and we kind of like because I was sort of like, no, that's not what it was. Like, there's no way that that was like whatever. And then finally someone literally spotted that that was a drive-by. And there was an active shooter, and they were driving in a car, and then there was a major panic because somebody misidentified the car as another car that was part of fucking production. Everybody was freaking out because they see this fucking car pull up from production. They're like,
we are the
Get Realisms podcast.
I am Adam Chase Reddy.
And I am Christine Chen. And surprise, we're both filmmakers.
We get into it by sharing secrets, advice, and gossip in filmmaking.
And we even get our other filmmaking friends to share theirs too.
So please, everybody, join us for
an ode to filmmaking.
In this season, we get into Christine's feature-length thriller fantasy, Ursula.
A small idea that made a killer swamp mermaid a reality.
Just want to see if we're live on. We are!
We're live! Holy
yay! Wow. That was the quickest fucking setup I've ever fucking did.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Now we have an extra guest today.
Oh, I guess I have to go live on Instagram. Shit. Alright, I guess I'm gonna do both.
Okay.
I'm gonna simultaneously.
Look at me representing the brand.
I know. Hell yeah, dude.
I
got the book right there.
Yeah.
Alright. You live, right? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm here then.
Okay.
Yay. There we go.
This is a surprise. This is the first time that both of us are in the same room together.
I know. This is a massive game changer.
This will happen like once every 5 years.
Yeah, exactly. Once every 5 years, the moons align, and then Christine and Adam can be in the same room.
That's
weird. Without,
that's also me too.
Okay. Shit. All right. Well,
Fitch.
That's better now.
Hi, Fitch.
I got a monitor.
Now we gotta share this.
You do.
You share the Facebooks.
You want to share it on your page?
Yeah,
You do it after.
Okay, that sounds good.
I'm sorry. Unless you want to right now, we could.
It's it's fine. It's gonna take some time.
Yeah. Okay.
It's fine. We'll just go with for it.
Okay. Let's.
The echo. We fixed it though, Chris. I think we fixed the echo. Is it fixed? I think so. It was because all our Instagrams and our Facebooks and all the social medias are going crazy. So, but I think we fixed it.
Yeah, we did. We fixed it, and now we're here. I'm super excited.
Yes, in the flesh,
in the fucking flesh now, ladies and gentlemen. Now we're not fucking around. That's right. That's right. We're in the same room, finally. Us together. We did it. So we finally are aligned now, and the last 48 hours of my film career life has been an absolute fucking crazy shit show. But I want to hear what you've been up to since you're here in Austin now.
Sure, but your live went bye-bye. What'd you do?
Oh, shit. I don't know. Okay. My bad.
Sorry. Okay.
You guys, this is a crazy setup. I don't know how I'm going to juggle all this. Are you fucking kidding me right now? I can't, because now I have to, keep the phone, in order to, adjust myself, I'm keeping the phone goofily close to my face.
Can you tape your phone to your Mac?
You want me to tape my phone to my Mac?
Or, put it against the, put, I'm you like, just need to put it against something
yeah,
solid.
Hold on, guys.
Okay. Yeah, this is the first time we've been together in how long? Put it against that.
It was since COVID with at Kelly's.
Which was like a year ago?
Well,
a year and a half ago?
20.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a while. It's been a while. This is the first time I've ever seen Adam's place, too. So it's lots of new things. Very exciting. And also, first time meeting Adam's dog. And we've been doing this podcast for 3 years? 2 years. 3 years. Has it already been three? That's nuts. Yeah. My friend was like, why are you doing this podcast? I'm like, because it's like our public therapy session. Duh. It's our journal. Okay, this is how I think this is like us journaling.
Huh?
This is like me journaling. I don't like writing and journaling. This is me journaling. This is my verbal diarrhea journal.
Well, it's nice to write though. Like you do write in a way, but yeah. No, I get it. I this is like a whole fucking production.
It's great. We need to take a picture of this afterwards. Yes.
It's like my fucking Captain Kirk space station.
Yes. All right, you gotta introduce us now.
Oh my gosh.
You gotta do the thing.
We're doing the thing now, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen. Oh, my goodness. Episode 70.
Yeah, what episode?
474.
74.
We are live. I am Adam Chase Rennie.
And I am Christine Chen. And we are here in the flesh together. Look, on the same couch.
On the same couch.
It's kind of nuts.
Finally. And you know, the last time we were on the couch, it was with B-Rad.
Yes, that was like four or five years ago.
That was like 5 years ago.
That's really sad.
No, not 5 years ago.
That's really sad.
That was like 3 years ago.
We're like really old.
You are. I'm going to live forever.
Yes, I am. I am a middle-aged elderly millennial.
That's the greatest part about you and Kelly, because every time anything happens and like you guys like get a pop in the knee like normal human beings do, it's like, oh my gosh, I'm getting old. I'm getting old. This is the end of the road. You guys are like Curb Your Enthusiasm. You're like Larry David from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I know. The funny thing is like
everything. I'm going to die soon.
We're both like really active and like athletic too.
You guys are
so
sister wives.
Yeah, yeah, we are sister wives.
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
You guys love to talk shop and complain to each other only for your guys' sake. But I also love complaining as well.
Yeah, we just get together and complain about our joints.
But it's speaking of complaining, you're here in Austin.
Yeah, for a week.
What shoot was it? I don't remember.
Oh, this is great. Okay, I'm on the best shoot ever. So
are you?
Okay. Yes. I'm like, oh, I should just do commercials for life. Mm. So...
Why?
Yeah, fuck my directing career. Let's just do commercials instead.
I don't know why you would want to just do commercials. That sounds like a nightmare.
So
I've done commercials. Kelly's done commercials.
Even the AD on this. I am the line producer on this. And let me tell you, it sucks for most people being a line producer because what's happening is that they have a limited budget, but they got to get all the resources, right? So they have no money, but they got to get all the things. That's why line producers are always really stressed out. But when you're the line producer in a commercial of a never-ending budget, you just feel like
it's like Disneyland.
You just feel like Morgan Freeman on Shawshank Redemption.
I am God.
Yeah, yeah, I just get you things. I'm the girl who knows how to get you things. That's about it.
What do you need? What do you need?
Yeah, what do you need? Oh, yeah, you need a hazer like right now? Cool, got you.
Yeah,
oh,
it's going to be here in 20 minutes.
Yeah, got you. It's going to cost this much, but you don't care.
Are you
so
serious?
It's all good. Yeah, it's this whole, I can't say exactly.
You can't talk about it, I know.
Okay, I can't say what company and who and whatever. It's totally fine because I don't even know these people. But so I basically am lining for a series of social media videos promoting esports gamers.
Gotcha. Okay.
So like these are pro gamers and apparently they're like big shots. I don't know. I'm just like, apparently we can't technically even talk to them. Like they have managers that like communicate between us and them. And like, but yeah, I've watched a documentary about this, that this is a whole thing, but like this budget is like never ending. It's just,
I just refreshed the page.
Yeah.
It's crazy. When you say never ending though, there is a limit.
I'm sure there's a limit, but it feels like there's
You can't be like, hey, I'm going to build a all golden swimming pool.
Correct. I can't do that, but within reason.
Yeah.
But the thing is like, this is the first time where I haven't had to fight for everything on a budget. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Or like I've hadn't had to be a MacGyver on the budget, right?
Remember so, Once Upon a Time in Ursley when
when I'm like, okay, so for this and this.
So
and this.
Kelly can source that and Reese is bringing this.
And then this is from that person's house.
Exactly.
And then like we're going to find, so my five friends, each of them have this, each different prop.
We all know a person.
Who have it, that we can get this thing for free so that we can save $10.
But you have a almost Disneyland goofy ass budget.
Yeah, they're like, we need these like cutouts and we need a like ski mask and we need that. Like, and it's just like, sure, okay. It's great. It's great being able to operate like this.
Like, are you... I understand now why you say, yeah, let's do this for the rest of your life. Because that does sound like fun.
It's stress-free.
But it's just
sure, there's no creativity whatsoever with it. But like, I'm just, all I do is I say, yes, you can have that. Yes, you want another, you know, camera op tomorrow, even though like... the other ones dropped out because of COVID. Like, cool. Oh, let's do it. Yeah. Like I can get that for you. Yes. You want this last minute cardboard cutout of this person? Sure. I got you. Like, it's great. It's utilizing my skill of knowing lots of people. So, and I don't know.
I didn't think about it till right now.
Yeah.
I now know the reason why you moved to LA.
Why?
Because you need all of the connections. You need all of the networking. We expose it here, folks. I'm kidding. Yes. I know that's not the case. There's other reasons, but that's amazing though.
Yeah, it's great. It's
yeah.
I can imagine being a line producer with no budget and having to get all the resources within that budget. How stressful that can be. But when you have imaginary, there's no budget. When there's no budget, when there is a budget and it's a deep dark hole and you don't have to negotiate for shit and you can you're literally just the person who gets
things. That's amazing.
It's the best feeling ever, because you just make everybody happy.
Yeah,
everybody is just happy.
Everyone's excited.
They're like, yeah, I want a matcha green tea latte from Starbucks. Got it. Approved.
It's already
Let's
done.
Go get it. I'm going to call it. It's coming in 5 minutes.
And you probably have like like 19 PAs for PA Nation.
Yeah. And, or like, oh, we need this one obscure piece of equipment. No problem. I know five people with it. It's going to cost this amount of money, but you can afford it. Let's do it. It'll be here in 5 minutes.
Oh, my
God. It's great. It's like, it's empowering.
I was just going to ask, how does it feel with all that power? But you also know in comic book legend, with great power comes great responsibility.
Right. No, I'm like putting things in the budget and doing counting and stuff, but like,
right, of course. And like you said, you have to do it within reason.
It's great though. Like, yeah. I don't know. Like, I have been so used to being in a MacGyver and like making,
just making it from a person.
Yeah. Making $2 equal 100.
And then, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That it's amazing to be like, this person costs this much. Okay.
Right.
Cool. All right. Which I'm at that. I'm like, shit, I should ask for more money.
So are you, how much longer are you doing the shoot for? You're leaving.
I have two more days. I have two more days. Yeah. So I have tomorrow and Monday. Yeah.
Oh, the second.
Yeah. So I leave the second. Yeah. Gotcha. I'm on a plane on the second in the morning and I fly. Wow. It's so weird because I don't have my car. Like, I didn't drive here this time. I flew and I'm just very lucky. I have cool friends that have extra cars that let me borrow it.
What the fuck?
I know.
God,
I'm like,
damn it.
I have like the nicest.
I still have no car.
I know. And meanwhile, I'm like, I'm fine. I've got extra cars. So I don't have a car. So I'm flying to Shreveport and then production's going to rent me a car that. So I can, so I'll be in Shreveport prepping, for a feature film called Cabin Girl, which is a horror film.
Can you talk a lot about it?
I can't really. Okay. I technically didn't sign an NDA, but like it's a horror film.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah. So which should be fun.
No, that is a lot of fun. You've done a few of those,
No, I've only done one horror film. Well, if you count Ursley, it'd be two.
Exactly.
Horror films. I don't think. I think
I chalk it as a, It is a horror adventure.
It's a thriller.
Is horror adventure thriller?
Horror adventure thriller. Fine. Yes.
Fair okay. enough.
That's fair.
Thriller.
But like, yeah, I'm on that. And that's then fun. I was able to finagle out. It wasn't able. It was, I just told Eric Gibson, this is happening and I'm doing it. So nice. I have an incredible opportunity to work on the Arcade Fire music video that's being shot in New Orleans.
Oh my gosh. Are you serious?
I'm so excited.
No, do you understand how many times I saw Arcade Fire when I was younger? Are you fucking kidding me?
I'm going to be there.
I need you to leave. We're cutting this short.
I'll
now,
take a picture
gentlemen.
Of myself with them and then send it to you and smile.
I mean, that is just that is cold blooded, dude. That is so cold blooded. I am, okay.
Get this. Okay, yeah. This is really cool.
Sure.
So, because I knew I was in Arcade Fire, I told Darren. Darren was like, "Let's watch some old music videos." So he pulls up Suburban. Or I think that's what it is called.
Yeah, it's Suburbia. Yeah.
Suburbia. Okay. Did you know that Zoe is in that music video? Our Zoe Graham, our Faye from Ursley?
No. Are you fucking kidding?
It's been
a minute since I've seen Suburbia. Yeah. So I don't know.
So I like pull it up. I had never seen this music video. So I pull it up. I know the song, but I pull it up and I'm like, hold up. Why does that girl look so familiar? Why does she look like Zoe? Holy shit, is Zoe. I text Zoe, and Zoe goes, yeah, I never acted before, and that was the first thing I'd ever acted in.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that unreal?
Is she a fan of Arcade Fire?
I don't know, but she basically, yes, she is now. But
well, right, yeah.
But how she got it was that there was a mysterious post asking for interesting teenagers for an Austin documentary. And she applied, but she was never an actor or anything. She hadn't acted before that. She said she was in a band. That was it. And then she started acting. Isn't that nuts?
Dude, Zoe, like what the fuck, dude? Like I didn't even know that.
I didn't either.
Thanks for holding that information back.
I had no clue. I just was watching the music video. I'm like, that looks like her character, Faye. That's Zoe.
Yeah. I gotta see that music video. It's been
Now you gotta put. Yeah,
I don't
now you gotta watch
many music videos. I don't know why I don't. I should.
I love music
because
videos,
I do too. It's just for some reason I don't watch much of them.
Yeah, because MTV went to shit.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. Yeah, but also like VH1. I remember growing up. Like you remember VH1? Like they had like. I don't know. Like when I was growing up, they had like early morning music videos.
Yes.
So like every time I wake up in the morning, like I had to wake up at like 6 a.m. to get to school, like at by like 7:30 or some shit for zero period. And I always watched like at least 30 minutes worth of music videos. Like, and that was like going on for like 2 years. By the way, my phone is just like, I don't know.
Yeah, what's
it's like,
going on?
It's
just
dying.
Me now. Did it die?
Yeah, no, I don't know.
Oh, hi. What's up, Jake?
Sorry about
that. Yeah, I didn't realize that. It was just me talking to myself.
Yeah, I just saw my phone went blank. I'm like, I didn't.
I actually have a co-host. He just died. Not much. We're in the same room together, so we're exciting. Excited. We were just talking about this amazing
real live episode.
Yes. This is our first real live episode in a long time.
Very long time.
And Oh yeah, Chinese New Year is coming up too.
Really?
It's the year of the tiger, everybody.
Nice.
Yes.
Shout out to the tigers out there.
Yes. I am celebrating it tomorrow by eating.
Period. Okay.
Period.
Great. All right. Yeah. It's just like, yeah, I'm going to go get Italian food. It's like, period. Makes 100% no sense. Huh? So you're going to get.
I'm going to get Chinese food.
That's
of course,
fucking awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. So shout out to the Year of the Tiger. So can I talk to you about my set?
Yes. Okay.
Okay. So okay, this is a, this was a
Why
crazy
are you sitting
ass.
So far away?
I don't know. I don't know. Okay. I just realized that. Sorry.
In the frame.
I know, but like, it's just like the fucking headset and everything else. I wasn't really aware of the situation that's happening right now. And now that I'm in it, I realize, God damn it, that this is just.
Are we
just a train wreck.
Are we social distancing? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, exactly. I don't want you to give me COVID.
You're the one who has COVID.
I know. Once upon a time. Okay.
Okay. All right.
So I had the luxury of
you were on Grace's set.
Don't say the name. Okay. Don't say the name. We're gonna make up a name. That's not the real name. Her name is X.
X is name.
Because part of it, it's not even her fault.
Oh,
it's not even this person's fault.
It was because there was some crazy shit that went down.
So you talked to
Shayla.
Okay. Also, there was another. I don't want to say her name because, the situation that arise. I don't want to call out the people.
Okay.
And stuff like
this. Ooh, drama.
So there's a lot of things happening, and just understand that crew. I love you so much. This is a shout out to you. This is not a diss at all.
Making movies is hard.
Making movies is really fucking hard. So the situation that
all
just
sorts
happened,
of shit happens.
And also, I'm talking my perspective as well because I want to be a complainy child for the next 2 minutes, just like Stitchy wants it.
Stitch.
He has a little bit of back trouble, and he might want to get on the couch, so he comes back around.
Stitch, come here.
Well, he doesn't like listening to anybody. He lives by his own rules. He doesn't follow anyone else's rules, but Stitch's rules. So I was on the shoot, and I did all this prep and stuff, and everything was going great.
Okay.
I made even prep food. I made prep food, dude. I had a cooler full of prep food.
Because the characters ate food.
Yeah, and it took me like 5 hours to make all this shit, and I was super excited. Then I got an email from our producer, and this person was like, hey, so the location fell through. We're going to go to a different location, maybe tomorrow, but we're not sure. And maybe Saturday, but we're not sure. So we're just gonna let you know tomorrow morning. It's like, hang on, what? Tomorrow morning? And so I waited till tomorrow morning. And then finally, I would say at like 11:30, they got a location locked down for that day. For that day, by the way. And mind you, I'm PD in this production.
Okay.
So I literally have no idea what this location. I just looked at a Google map.
Yes.
For like a brief minute. Like on the 360, the 360 video or whatever.
Yes, the Google world, Google Maps, whatever.
And that's all I saw. And I'm like, okay, that's a cute building. All right. So there you go. Oh, he jumped up. What a good boy. He might crawl around. He's just gonna chill out behind
us. I love puppies.
So, yeah. Can you park it, please? I'm trying to tell a story, and you're being drama.
Okay. So you now have a location they've never seen before. And you're
never
the production
seen it before.
Designer.
So I get my shit all ready to go. Then I needed a ride. I needed a ride to get my rental car because I was getting a rental car.
Yes, because you've been catfish.
I've been catfish. And can't get a guys, car. You guys, we dedicated an entire episode 2 episodes ago just for this catfishing experience. Please go listen to it. Yes. It was
basically
dynamite.
Why he can't get a car.
It's why I can't get a car, and it's super duper frustrating because it feels like the universe is working against me. So I...
Jake says cute pup. Exactly.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. He's a fat Tootsie Roll size beagle.
He is a cute pup.
He's a love
he's
of my
so
life.
So sweet. Where you go?
He likes to be left alone. He's an
independent man.
Very independent. and he's such a diva. He's such a
you're a diva.
Yeah. Bitch. He's so needy. He needs attention. Anyways, so I get my shit ready, and my mom was supposed to take me to the rental car place.
Okay.
Then she comes back into the house, and she's like, hey, so just to let you know, my car won't start.
Oh, no.
And I had to get to San Antonio by 2 o'clock, and it's already 11:30.
Oh, shit.
And so I was like, Yeah.
That's not happening.
I'm having a panic attack. So I literally like went into my bathroom here and just sat on the toilet. Like I didn't use the toilet, but I just like
just
sat there to just
back and forth.
Not a little bit, but like I was just thinking and I'm just like, how is this happening right now? And I literally waited for AAA. I was going to get an Uber, but then an Uber was going to take 30 minutes and a AAA was going to be there in like 25 or whatever.
Right.
So I was like, okay, I guess get a AAA and get your car battery restarted and then hopefully we can get out there.
Yeah.
This guy, the most, I'm sorry, hillbilly ass dude I've ever seen in my life. I don't know how AAA hired this man, but he was literally, Christine, he was Brian from fucking...
Oh, no. From Ursley.
The guy literally showed up in a tin fucking can. He had three broken windows in his truck.
Oh.
He had three broken windows in his toolbox. Literally, like, when he opened the car, cartoonishly, like, seven cigarette butts just, like, fell right out of his fucking car. Like, that's no fucking joke. And this guy comes, and it takes him 20 minutes. 20 fucking minutes to restart a fucking battery. Ladies and gentlemen, I had to get my car restarted before too. It doesn't take 20 minutes. All you need to do is get it jump started and make sure you drive it for 30 minutes or more so it won't die the next time you turn it off and stuff like that. Whatever. So he's here and he couldn't get it started the first time. Then he's like, oh, maybe there's something wrong. And then he used his truck to get it started. Mm-hmm. Then he uses backup battery. Like his separate portable battery mm-hmm. to get it started. Then that didn't work for some reason.
Oh.
Then he asked one of my fucking neighbors, hey, can I borrow your SUV to jump this lady's car that lives here? And he was just like, oh, her? Like, what's happening? And he was like, yeah, I just like got to get that jump and like none of my stuff is working and like my truck isn't working like as much as I wanted it to. And he was just like, my neighbor was super nice about it. He was just like, yeah, okay. And I literally like apologized profusely to him because like, and by the way, this whole endeavor went from 20 minutes to 45 minutes. So now it's 1 o'clock, like 1:15-ish. And I'm now on the road to the rental car place.
Okay.
And I get there. It's like I'm living a dream.
Oh.
So like I get there and there was someone in front of me who was just get like this lady who was just having a rough day. Like I can only
Karen.
Maybe it's me in the future. So she literally was just like, she was like stomping around the fucking place complaining, wondering why like no one's helping her out and like she needs a rental car and that she was promised this specific price or whatever. And this went on for 10 minutes, 10 minutes that I didn't need fucking happening. It was just a fucking nightmare. I was living a nightmare, ladies and gentlemen. So I got to the front and it went smoothly, like 5 minutes. It was like, hey man, here's what we got. Pick the car, and then I pick the car, and you're like, okay, here, sign this, and then there's your credit card.
Yep.
Now go. And I left and got there, and I got to the place, and I went to the wrong fucking location.
Oh, no.
And it's apparently like it wasn't super far away, but it was another 8 minutes that I didn't fucking have.
Oh.
So I finally get to, I had to go to this warehouse to like, you know, pick up a whole bunch of stuff and whatnot. And there, so here, let me Google something really quick. Okay.
Okay.
Give me 1 second.
Okay. He's going to Google something. I'm not sure what he's going to Google, but we will see.
Ford windowless van.
I'm saying hi to you guys. Oh, thanks for all the hearts, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for listening as we talk about our crazy world of filmmaking. Sometimes it just happens. A lot of it. Meanwhile, I'm having the greatest time of my life.
Yeah, this was a fucking nightmare. So this is the kind of van. There were two of these vans, right?
Okay. So you got like a rape van, basically.
Right. Yeah. That I had to drive. It was me and the art director who was working on that production.
Art van.
It's Yay. No, it's not. It's not an art van. This is a van that you lure small children. So there were two of these vans, but just imagine this really fucked up and beat up. Like there was one taillight broken right here.
Okay, so you were in like a cartel van.
Yeah, basically. Okay. And this rear view mirror was absolutely cracked. Like it was like it looked like a baseball bat was just beaten to death with that thing. So I opened this van up. And God bless the production, but the production needed 8 heaters.
Okay.
And they're huge. Okay. They're tall. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you know when you go to those restaurants, those, like, tall ones in the restaurant? I have an action music video I shot 2 years ago. Oh,
yeah,
right on,
this is what I'm reading, too.
That's awesome.
That's awesome, Jake. I want to see it. So put the link in the chat, and we'll watch it.
We will.
Yeah, we'll put it on. Put the link up. Okay, keep going.
So I get to the warehouse and I have to like assemble these like giant like tall heaters, kind of like this size.
Okay.
And they were like, like you know when you go to restaurants and like they have those like tall heaters, like when it's like super cold and stuff like that. So there was.
That's nice that they at least thought about you guys.
Yeah. No. Of course. Yeah, and it worked out perfectly.
Yeah.
Here's the problem, though. Those are 8 heaters.
Uh-huh.
In this van.
Uh-huh.
In that van right here.
It fits, right?
I barely made a fit. I barely made a fit. It was by this barely skin of my fucking teeth that I was able to fit 8 heaters. It was like perfect because I was doubting for like at least like the moment I got there, I was like, there's no fucking way we're going to fit 8 of these in one van. There's absolutely no way. Somehow I made it work. And do you want to know who helped me out?
Nobody.
Exactly. That's right.
Aww.
That's right. I loaded 8 heaters all by myself.
Aww.
And God bless. I mean, listen, the art director. So the art director was building a stage. And
wait, is this the same set? Is this Grace's set?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Oh, who's the art director?
Her boyfriend.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So.
Okay.
Moving on.
Okay.
So he built, and also he has construction experience.
Okay. Fair.
So he has, and also he has more construction experience than I have. Like I only had like maybe a year or two with my dad.
Yeah.
That's it. So he has like 5, 6 over of me. So he knew how to build a stage. And I'm like, fucking rad. Awesome. You know what to do now.
Okay.
So I go to the warehouse and I go to the van and I'm like, hey man, are there any like helpers out here to like help me like load
unload
in the van?
Load it into the van. Okay, okay.
And he was just like, yeah, you can ask like a couple of workers. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I asked a couple of workers and they look like they are in the middle of like hauling a whole bunch of shit into like this giant U-Haul truck.
Uh-huh.
And they're clearly like way too fucking busy. They're like beating sweat. They're like, they're dying. They're trying. And then it was like, hey man, is there a way like you can load in these space heaters? And he's like, well, we got to get all this shit in here like by this time and stuff. So we don't have any time. And I'm like,
what happened to the PAs?
They were great question. They were nowhere to. Well, okay. So to be fair, so the second AD came.
Shayen. Was she on?
This was yesterday. Yes, this way. Oh, Shaylin, yeah, what's up?
She is on it.
Yeah, she was on it. Yeah. She knew what was happening. So I'm doing, this was like, this was literally yesterday. So I had to load all the heaters by myself.
Okay.
And Cam, like, so in fairness to production, they were all doing their own shit. Nikki. You better comment. You better say it.
Nikki,
you better love us.
You. Yay, Nikki!
Yes, exactly. You better, Nikki. So I loaded all this shit up.
Okay.
And there was no help. So everyone, all the production were at the other location because everyone was trying to figure
out
the other
location.
Nikki
said, why the fuck aren't we drinking? Because I already I had 2, Nikki, right before coming.
And I'm really stoned. So
perfect.
I'm like... I'm like two fucking
ooh, Britney Spears.
Yeah, I typed in three and it fucking like searched Britney Spears. So I loaded all this shit up. I drive the fucking shitty van. No help. Get there.
Okay.
And I'm figuring out the property.
Okay.
As I'm going along. And honestly, like at this point, it went fairly smoothly. There was a few moments where I can tell, like, you know, the director and others, you know, were a little getting stressed out.
Yeah.
We were running out of time. There was only so much time we could have wasted. And also, I was running late as well. So it literally, like, everybody, yet again, was waiting for art department.
Okay.
So, and it's also not only my fault because the art director, Adam, shut up. Christine wants to talk to us. That's yeah, fine.
I love you, Nikki.
That's
Carly.
Fine.
Okay, keep going.
That's
keep
fine.
Going. I want to hear the story of the shit show that he was...
So I'm gonna get to the good part, Nikki.
Okay, hurry
and you
up.
don't want me to get there.
Okay.
So it's all set up. We find our rhythm. It's cool, but there's, you know, we're losing time and whatnot.
Okay.
Then out of fucking nowhere, we heard just 10 pops.
I heard about that.
So we heard just 10 pops fucking randomly. And a fellow actor who was in Ursley.
Oh.
Who played a specific character.
I
don't want to call it.
I know who it is.
But there was a voice of concern.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. rightfully so. Because when she heard those pops mm-hmm. and I heard those pops, and then I kind of like we made eye contact, and then I made eye contact with other crew members, and we kind of like because I was sort of like, no, that's not what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's no way. That was like whatever, and then finally someone literally spotted that was a drive-by,
mm-hmm.
and there was an active shooter, and they were driving in a car, and then there was a major panic because somebody misidentified the car mm-hmm. as another car that was part of fucking production.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
everybody was freaking out because they see this fucking car pull up from production. They're like, and it's like, no, that's not the right car. It's like, oh my God. Everybody thought like everybody was going to fucking get like.
This is really funny because I just saw Shayla. And she was dropping off the walkies and she told me that like, cause she was ADing it and how she understood. Shayla now knows. Shayla knows what it means to be an AD and that it's all about being
calm. Well, and Shayla's
calm.
Defense, she's producer as
yeah,
well.
Being calm when every other person is fucking panicking. Yeah, so she was like, yeah, so these two gunshots go pop, 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 and then everybody's like, ah! And I'm
everybody
like...
Everybody freaked out,
and then
there was a car
Jesus
approaching
Christ,
the set
guys.
Who we thought was the active shooter, turns out it wasn't, it was part of production. And then finally, like, we were waiting around for 20 minutes, and there was a notice of defeat. If you can only click on it here, I sent it to your DM, Adam.
Thank
okay, cool,
you.
Awesome.
Yeah, we'll play
appreciate
it.
I literally like, we were just waiting around. Like everyone was just waiting around for like 20 minutes. And then finally we just had to call it and just say like, we had to shut down set.
Yeah.
And luckily, like I think as far as I know, like they got as much as they got, you
yeah.
know, like they got a pretty good headway with it.
Yeah.
So maybe there might not be a full day of like shooting, you know, for another day. Because it is going to be postponed and,
okay.
you know, we're going to continue soon.
Life of film.
Life of film.
That's just how it goes. Shit happens and you just got to postpone. And you got to be like, well, at least we didn't die.
But yeah, there was a little bit of like defeat as well, because, you know, like there was a lot of preparation from not only, he's going to probably make a running start or not, maybe not. There's just lots of people who were literally looking forward to like the beginning and the end of the shoot.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And especially the director.
Of course.
So we were all kind of looking forward to that. And it was just, it felt like defeat, but also not really, because it was out of our control. It was truly like 100% out of our control. Oh,
yeah.
And also one of the talent called the police and they were going to come to set.
Oh.
So the director thought and didn't So here's the other thing too. The director didn't really know what was happening.
Oh.
So the director was preoccupied lining up shots.
Right, of
because course. The director's also director of photography as well.
Yeah, I heard.
So she's, you know, running camera and stuff. So she's dealing with all that, and we hear this stuff. Mm-hmm. And then she literally looks up and she's like, okay, are we ready to roll? And
like, no.
And everybody, and like, you know, first AD and everyone else were like, hang on, no, we gotta assess the situation. And finally, talent then like walked away, and one of them just called the police. Mm. And the director was hoping to get one last shot in.
Yeah.
And there was just no time, and we didn't know an ETA when the police were going to get there. Yeah. They're going to get there in any minute. And then it turns out that the police didn't even like go like to the front where the production is actually at.
Oh.
So they just kind of like went around for some reason. So it doesn't matter. Either way, like it was a good call to just call it a
night.
It
was a good call.
And also, it was like we were pushing like 3 a.m.
Oh.
We were like 4 a.m.
I heard because like Cam. I'm just telling you names.
Like, I mean, I'm like, I'm not trying to call these people out. And she's like, these people. I'm like, God damn it.
Well, Cam is doing the COVID test on the lovely commercial that I'm on.
Oh,
and so it. Shayla was like, dude, Cam didn't even get any sleep. Because, yeah, like, it ended at 3, and then she had to drive back. So by the time he got back, it was 6:30, and our call time was like 7. So
also, shout out to him, because he, after the shoot, we stuck around for, like, another hour because we had to load everything back into the van, including the fucking heaters, and get
Cam
it all into the warehouse.
Badass.
And yeah. Unload it in the warehouse, too.
Oh.
Unload it all as well, again. And we did it all, and because... You know, it, like, they needed the van. It was a whole other thing. So,
it was a whole thing.
So we unloaded it and helped them out. But, like, yeah, Cam, MVP, for sure. He's a true MVP. So shout out to Cam. We love you. I didn't mean to call you out by name. Or we call you out by
Sorry,
name.
Sorry, I did it.
No, it's okay. we can share the blame. We're co-hosts. It's fine.
I'm just
That's
like,
what co-hosts
and this
do.
Person. Oh, I Ride know we said this is.
It's fine. Yeah. Sooner or later. If it's not going to be you, or if it's not going to be me, it's going to be you. It's going to be me. Whatever. So, yeah.
Jake, don't worry about not being scripted and a lot of stuff. I'm excited to watch it in a few. So,
yes. It is, yeah. So that was an interesting time. But it was a great time because it was like, I would say 30 or to 40%. No, I would say 40% like Ursley crew, you know?
Yay!
It was cool. It was awesome.
You know what I'm noticing is that like Ursley crew have been trying to like reinvent Ursley crew. In multiple different scenarios.
In some way, shape, or form. I mean, we can't get the full Ursley clue.
Yeah,
we can't get Carly. We can't get Nikki. We can't get Christine. We can't get everyone we wanted. But
the Shreveport gig, like, they're trying...
Right.
Like, a lot of people are coming back for that.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. How fun.
Yeah.
Wow. A lot of people are coming back?
So, it's... the AD department is, like, me... Carly and Nikki, and then wardrobe is Keandra and Camille. So, like, there you go.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right on.
Please let me know if I did good. Okay. I will, Jake. I'm sure it was great.
Yeah, dude. So, that's been it. And I barely got any sleep. I can only imagine, like, the other, like, Austin people who traveled to San Antonio. Like, I'm lucky enough that I didn't get another gig. And I, yeah, I'm very happy. I only have a copywriting gig, but that shit ain't due till tomorrow night.
Nice.
So I'm just like, fuck it, dude. I'm just going to sleep in today and do this podcast and probably eat food and go to bed, you know? So it's not as bad, but also like it beat me the fuck up. It really.
It sounds like it. You have to, that's.
It really beat me the fuck up. And also, like, with this whole thing with my, you know, the person who I live with who has an IQ of a walnut, like, just absolutely just, like, didn't quite understand the ramifications
Aww.
Of the sense of urgency that I needed.
Aww.
And it was just utmost frustrating. It was just so frustrating where, you know, I was just, like, I didn't have like a full blown panic attack, but mm-hmm. I was definitely like, kind of like how you felt with when you took that COVID test. The story you told.
Oh gosh,
I felt queasy. Like I felt like I felt like I needed air. Okay,
that's
shit.
A good analogy because I like totally get it now.
But I wasn't reaching to that point. Okay. But I was almost. I was dangerously close, and I finally just like had to breathe. Like I got into the rental car and I just turned on the AC so I can get some cold air to my face and just breathe for like at least 2 minutes. Because if I didn't do that, I was gonna like drive so fucking tensely for like an hour and a half to San Antonio, and I didn't want to do that. So I kind of like had like a pre-meditation. Like I turned on like the I turned up like the radio and I plugged in my phone and I turned on rain sounds from YouTube so that I can breathe for 2 minutes. Aww. And I put a timer on my phone. So like
whatever hat works.
I mean, it worked for me. I mean, like it was an old therapist trick that I mean, it's not old.
Or
I
you
mean,
could
I literally
open the door and
it.
Throw up like I did.
Or just expel it all and then just feel weirdly good about it afterwards. Yeah.
Let's see what I could have. Jake said, it was my first music video and it was like some action in it. If I wasn't doing music, I probably would be an actor. Oh, you can still be an actor. You know what? It's okay. You don't have to choose. You can do one or the other. Do both.
You can absolutely.
Music and act.
Yeah. So many, there's so many musicians that are really good actors.
Yeah,
or like
JT,
artists that are.
BJT. Yeah.
BJT.
Justin Timberlake. Oh.
Oh, you said BJT. And I was just like,
oh, no.
Oh,
BJT. JT.
Okay. I thought you were saying initials, the letter B.
No,
J-T.
B,
like,
Justin Timberlake.
B? Gotcha. Yeah, yes. No. Yeah. JT is great.
Do both. Do both, Jake. Do both.
So you got anything else?
That is hilarious because, like, now I wish I could edit, like, your experience with my experience.
I know.
It would be a very funny. It'd be like me, like, drinking my matcha latte, sitting and, like, doing my other work and taxes and being like, oh, you need this? Sure. Like, here's the credit card. You know, like,
well,
no big
I'm just
deal.
Like,
cut
shaking.
To you're shaking, carrying eight, like, the warmer heater things by yourself and then like guns going off in the background and like just bullshit happening. Cut back to me just like do. Oh, look, I'm just gonna put this cost. Yes, it costs $1,000. No big deal. We're just gonna put it in this little ledger here.
That's awesome. No, but that's awesome though. But you've had your like share of sets that are just like beyond your wildest fucking dreams.
That's why when Shayla was like, oh my God, the panic, I was like, welcome. Welcome to my world, Shayla.
I love Shayla.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Like,
yeah, no.
But it's just panicking. I was like, I know. In fact, I was editing some of our old podcasts.
But let me just be clear, though. Production was not panicking. Production, in fact, was the most professional out of the majority of the crew.
Yeah.
I will say. Yeah. I will say. There's some there's maybe one or two that are just like a little like, all right, just relax. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for the most part it wasn't like really like I don't want to just lump talent as one lump sum because not all of them
are
panicking.
Yeah, they're not all the same.
They're not all the same, but like there's a couple that were just like really like shaken up by it. And rightfully so too, especially the lead actor who was also in, you know, another film we worked on or you directed.
Right.
So yeah, I think, shutting it down was the right move. And I know like it doesn't feel like it because there's just like, we just needed that little bit more time, but all in all, like
but that's kudos to product. I think that's the hardest part. I think
it is.
I think it's always amazing when production has to make the right call to keep their cast and crew safe. Cause it's very hard to do that actually. Because they're sunk in so much money, so much resources, so much of people's time. And it's all, and you have
and
to
we're all
shut
traveling
it down.
Too. So
it sucks. Like, I get it. I mean, that's like my friends, Michael and Brandon's, where they had to make the hard call to like shut down their set 4 days in, four out of six. They were so close because someone tested positive. But like that brings confidence From I think from the cast and crew because
but
feel
I feel like,
because
I remember that story too. Yeah. But like imagine like the heartbreaking feeling of like getting into that rhythm.
Oh, it hurts! It hurts so much.
You
no, I get it.
Wake
no,
up
it
one
hurts.
Day and you're like, oh, I'm not going to work
set.
Today.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
No,
I
it
mean,
hurts.
Yeah, that sucks. I can't imagine.
It hurts because it so many resources and so much time goes into planning.
Yeah.
And so many just it's a village, right? And it's just telling the whole village that they don't have a home anymore.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Yeah.
That is true. And but also like there's always like compromises and workarounds mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And you know, we always do our best and stuff, but also like safety again, how much have we talked about safety on this podcast? Like, we believe in safety more so than ever. I mean, especially like with past events that happened, especially in spite of recently too.
Yep, Russ.
It's just like, we can't allow to afford those predicaments again. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, we can't have that again. I understand that was a different situation than what we experienced, but really, in the reality of safety, we all need to understand that is priority.
Mm-hmm.
Like that just like if there's talent and there's even people in production that don't feel safe working in that environment. Yeah. I mean, I guess like, yeah, you could voice your complaints as well. But, you know, you also have to understand, too, the other side of that as well. Like we were just so fucking close. And it was just like I was a little just like, a little bummed out because I was kind of like looking forward to like finishing it all through.
Right.
But also at the same time, I'm like, I don't want to stick around and see what else is going to fucking happen.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know? And we were I wouldn't say we were in a bad neighborhood of San Antonio. Well, I guess it was. We were at night, so I didn't really get a chance to like take a look at the neighborhood. But I guess like in retrospect, maybe.
Yeah.
It wasn't a great neighborhood. Location was pretty, though. Okay. The location was pretty, but, you know, it was just, like, one of those things where you don't know until the shit happens. And it didn't really, like, click for me either.
Right.
Until, like, I, like, made eye contact with other people in the crew, and they're like, yeah, no, those are gunshots. And I'm like, oh, fuck, this is real. Okay. And then, like, we all had to, like, fucking move as a whole unit somewhere else, safer, behind the building and stuff. You know, away from the shooter and shit.
That's crazy.
So yeah. It was nuts. And then
freak accidents, freak everything. It's like Snowvid.
And also like just 24 hours before that, the original location that would have been like in for the director, perfect for what the story served because the story was written around that location. So when it fell through literally like 24 hours before production, it was just like
the mind fuck.
Are you kidding?
Mm-hmm,
like that's that's nuts.
Yeah.
And thankfully, Grace just like you know
pulled
just,
stuff out of her butt.
Yeah, and she just like she understood and she got to the other location and got it confirmed and stuff. So all in all, I don't think it was a failure. I don't think, but
no.
You know, it was one of those things where it's like, yeah, shit happens. But
that's just production.
What can you do? That's
shit
production.
Happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. I think
people
on,
test positive for COVID, and then there's drive-bys.
Yeah, shit happens on all productions, and I think that's where your like training comes in. It's just like,
dude,
your prep is yes, you want things to run smoothly and everything, but where your prep comes into play is when shit goes wrong.
Exactly,
and that's when you're like, oh, I'm going on autopilot right now, or like, okay. I have all these backups or like, okay, like these options and safety and stuff, we have to shut down the set. Like it's just, that's what prep does. Prep just makes sure that you can get through the hard shit.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of us, especially for me too, like I was also juggling a whole copywriting thing going on to make money.
Yeah.
And I've been juggling that along with, you know, trying to get everything and get a car and get everything prepped for this. So the amount of time that I had to really prep was like not much. But there was definitely like so many talkings and stuff and like meetings about it. And like I had questions about it and, they answered them and stuff like that, especially like, you know, production PD wise, art department wise. And I felt comfortable for the most part, especially when it came to prep. It was just so much to do, and it felt like absolutely so little time and no money whatsoever. Like none. And like we were like told there was an art budget, but there wasn't really an art budget. There was like a little bit of an art budget, you know. But that's no fault to anybody.
No, that's because just
it's just the reality of it. But exactly, and that's what I signed up for too. So yes. Like I knew exactly what I was getting myself into.
Indie filmmaking, guys. No resources, yeah. But you gotta get lots of shit somehow. But we no money. Get with lots no of money. Shit. $2 equals $100. And Jake was saying, do you know Afrobeat? Yeah, I've heard some. So I know what you're talking about. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, no, that's why it's just so funny. Because I'm like on the opposite end of that. I'm like, oh, you have problems?
How fun.
Yeah, how do we solve them? This is how you solve them. Cost this much money, this amount of money. Oh, yeah.
Sign the check.
Here it
Let's
is.
Go.
Give me the credit card. No problem. Oh, my God. It's awesome. Great. It's like operating in that and then operate. But you know what? I feel like if I hadn't operated in that like low budget indie, I wouldn't appreciate when I didn't have to do that, right? It wouldn't be this like, oh, like,
right.
Taking it for granted. No, I have experienced nothing. Doing everything with nothing so that when you have everything, it's like the most beautiful gift in the world.
Exactly.
You know, and there's people
the
out there
winning.
That don't even know that.
Yeah.
Right? That will never have that experience. That just think that like, oh yeah, my dream, my artistry, like it's just whatever amount of money to get that, that's just, I'm entitled to that, you know? You just will never feel that appreciation when you really came from doing so much with so little and then now having the opportunity to have a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, like, this won't be probably the only kind of gig that you probably work either. You're probably going to do more of these kind of gigs as well, especially with how much you say how much fun it is and shit.
I hope so.
It's kind of reminds me of like the plot to Iron Man in a way. Have you seen Iron Man?
Yes.
Yeah. So remember, like, you know, I mean, it's kind of a different circumstance clearly, but it's the idea of using scraps of nothing to get yourself out of a situation that you yourself think it's impossible to get out of.
Yeah.
Yet you still did it and you still made it through to the other side.
Yeah.
And now that you've done it, you proved your worth and you proved yourself. And now all this fancy gadgets and all this fancy little fucking credit cards you can fucking spend and shit like that. And this endless budget, bottomless bet. It feels like, I mean, I wouldn't say necessarily a reward, but more of like a heightened responsibility that's like also like an accolade for you. You know what I mean?
It's
nice. Like something to be proud of for sure.
Yeah.
100% be proud of that.
Yeah.
You know?
It's cool to be able like, okay, like, yeah, these people are worth this much and they're getting paid that.
Yeah.
Or I am worth this much and I'm getting paid that, you know? And I'm not like dying and like working my butt off to the bone and like I can if I want a matcha latte I get a fucking matcha latte.
You really like you just need matcha lattes. So like have you done other line producing gigs?
I mean like I line produce for Ursley.
Okay.
But like and I've produced for other stuff and
I guess like for like sole responsibility of line producing.
For somebody else, not as a
for somebody else's
feature or something. I actually, that's not true. I have. I line produced for the one that what was it called? The one that
was
your first long art project that you had a great time with, and but I did not because we were in a room full of dead animals.
Writer's block.
Yes.
Writer's block.
I produced that.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, that's right. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, so I have. I just don't do it very often because it is not the creative aspect of it. It's just knowing money and knowing people and knowing resources and knowing how to balance the budget, which I know how to doing my own shit, you know?
Yeah.
So, and how to get things. And I right. know that very well.
But also, like, yeah. that's not inherently easy. I'm sure it's tedious. It's not.
I think you just become really good at it because, again, my training, which is experience. Making $2 equal to $100, you become very good at figuring out who has what and, like, what people want in exchange for that that's not monetary. And I think also... Here, I had this thinking about it. I was talking to my former roommate, Carl, about it, is that if you go in always wanting to give people value without asking for anything, it will all come back. Do you see what I'm saying? So, like, a lot of people, and this sounds, now I'm, like, sound like a pompous ass, but, like, I have been able to have the opportunity to mentor a lot of people.
Oh, yeah, and I don't think that's pompous because I wouldn't be here, you know?
But it was never with the intention of, like, oh, then in the end, you're going to, oh, like, it never was that.
Right, yeah.
But, like,
yeah.
I think people come in really.
But I think you also have joy giving knowledge as well.
Love, like, I love
because,
teaching.
And you have no problem sharing experiences,
yeah, I love
even
teaching.
The shitty ones.
That's why
ones.
We may get realisms.
Right.
I love making films and I want it to feel like anybody can do it because it's true. Anybody can do it, you know? And if I can show and help people get to the point where they can make their own films, like, that makes me really happy.
Yeah.
And if that means that they feel like they owe me something, sure, it's okay. Like, but I never think of it that way.
No.
You know, so, like...
And you don't think of it a way as, like, earning an income either.
No, so not it's really. Cool when people... It's neat when I take a pause and I'm like, holy shit, like, I brought these 10 people on because, like, I trained
half
of them. Yeah,
I learned that... Shaylin, you mentored Shaylin yesterday. Like, when I was working with Shaylin, I'm like, wait, you worked with Christine? She was like, yeah. And I'm like, what the fuck? What do I not know? Holy fuck. Who else hasn't not worked with Christine here on this set? There's like a couple of people in San Antonio that Grace knew, but that's about it. But, yeah, that's awesome though, dude. Like, I love that you enjoyed your time, like, giving that experience, because there's, like, a lot of filmmakers that really, like, don't. They sort of shy away from, like, giving away those kinds of experiences. Why? I don't know. I'm sure there's personal reasons.
It's gatekeeping, right?
That's what I feel like.
It's scarcity, right?
Yeah.
So if we have the mentality that there's scarce, that it's opportunities are scarce, and we think that the pie is only a certain size, then it becomes this every man for themselves. And if somebody else succeeds, that means it's less for me. And I don't believe that.
No.
I feel like the pie will only grow if we all succeed. Because if you think of it, if one person succeeds and they appreciate that your help, they're going to try to raise you up as well.
Right.
And this has happened time and time and again, where, like, somebody that was a PA or some other position 4 years ago comes back and, like, I mean, that's how I got this awesome commercial gig. Literally.
Right.
It was, I think it was, I mean, Phelan was like a PA on one of our, like, old films. Yeah. Some short that we did. Yeah. And she's now, like, this awesome coordinator in LA for this company. And she brought
you're
me
also
on.
Also, if, for those of you who don't know, Christine's also a gig generator as well. Like, you can, like, if there's a gig that you absolutely need, there's probably going to be a good chance, if you worked with Christine before, she's going to hit you up for for gigs, especially if you're good at like a certain department. I'm not saying that I'm good at art. I am not good at art.
No, as long as one, you're nice and you're not a dick.
Right.
Two, you're reliable. You have. As long as I feel like you're always trying to do your best.
Right.
Then, like, everything else you can learn. in my opinion, to a certain extent. I mean, there is, there comes a time when there's a threshold when, like, the experience will override that. And, and I've had this conversation with Kelly and stuff, being like, yeah, there might be a time where, like, you may not be the production designer, but just know that, like, you'll always be on my project, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's just like, I don't know. The pie is always growing.
Yeah, it is.
In my opinion. Yeah. The pie is always growing. And if we all try to support each other and learn, and there will be more opportunities for all. And that's what's happening.
Because it's like, it really doesn't make a lot of, whole lot of sense. It's like, because, so I got a free master. So my dad bought MasterClass.
I love MasterClass.
And he gifted me Master. So have you watched the Martin Scorsese MasterClass?
No, MasterClass came to me when I was extremely busy and I only watched like four. Oh,
gotcha,
days.
Gotcha. Well,
I want MasterClass again.
There was like a MasterClass, like with Martin Scorsese. Okay. It was very much like he. So there's a couple of things that are like that are amazing. There are incredible points, because he basically said, like, you have to face art, and you have to face compromise in the face of art.
Yes.
And he was 100%. He's 100% good with that. But he's also equally trying to justify that if there's a specific thing that you want or you need, you fight for it. You do everything you possibly can to fight for it, which sort of like contradicts what you just said a little bit, which I'm assuming he means like fighting for, like, maybe like, I don't know, like if it's in your mind and if it's something you want to do, you would establish it early on in the pre-production phase of what you're trying to make. But I don't know what he's trying to mean. He just basically says, like, very like with tenacity, like, hey, if you want to get that thing in your shot, or you want this specific thing, you get that. And you do not let anyone else try to talk you down or back. Yeah. It's not trying to, like,
I don't think that's wrong. I think,
no,
I think what it is just saying that you should always trust your vision. Right.
Right.
So when you're on a set, it's there's a lot of noise, because a set is a community and everybody wants to give their opinion. And sometimes that's great.
Yeah.
But there are also times when you do have a vision and you do know exactly what you want. And you do need to stand above that noise and say, hey, this is still my vision. And this is what I want. And you have to fight for it. And, I mean, I feel like I do that all the time. Not even, obviously, as a director, but, like, even in a non-creative role, like an AD, I have to fight for what I want, which is not another take. Because if you do another take, we're going to go over, and then it's my fucking fault and my ass on the line. And I know that, you know, and so, and also the art director who's like, I will not put my name on this if this looks like this, because it makes me look bad. So it's fighting for things where, you know, fundamentally is not how you want to represent yourself as a creator, as an artist. So I agree
with that.
There is a lot of validity in what he is saying.
Yeah.
I think if there is filmmaking by community, you're not going to make a great film either.
Right.
Right? So, like, Ava DuVernay made the... I listened to her podcast on the DGA podcast. It's fantastic. But she's saying that, like, A Wrinkle in Time was not her film because it was filmed by community. And she wasn't able to stand for what she actually felt like was the right choice. And when you do that, then, like, the vision is lost.
She didn't have the final decision.
It's and it's when business school teaches me that, like, taught me that if you try to make everybody happy, you're not going to make anyone happy. Right? So if you try to make a product that appeals to everyone, because you're going to appeal to no one.
You're always going to disappoint somebody.
You're going to always disappoint someone. So why disappoint yourself?
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If you have something that you truly believe in that is going to, that you really feel like will make or break your vision, then yeah, you stand your ground. you know? And I...
Yeah, you got to fight for that. Yeah, that's true.
I've definitely come head-to-head with directors right. who are like, I have to have this shot or this story will not work. Mm. And I understand that, and I'll take a step.
Okay.
And be like, okay, yeah. cool. You get this one. Because mm-hmm. I trust you as a director, and this is your vision, and this is, if you really feel like this is going to make or break your film, then what about this scene that's coming up next? Will that make or break your scene? Because if something, if I give you this, you got to give me something else.
Because you also have to show them, yes. like, you have these responsibilities as well.
As well, exactly. Yeah. So and I got to stand my
You're mind. Worried about this right now.
Right. So I'm yeah. like, okay, but if you want to make your day.
Right.
If you want, then something else has got to give. Then and then that's where that compromise
sacrifice.
Happens, right? So we're all standing our ground for what we feel like is the best for the film, for the story. And that's what makes filmmaking beautiful, I think.
Absolutely. Because you wouldn't be part of the film if you didn't believe in it.
Right.
I mean, at least for me. I know you could probably argue like some people do it because for money and whatever. I mean, I guess, but yeah. I don't know. I don't feel like that's a lucrative way of making money.
It's not.
I mean, it's just like
there's much easier ways.
There's much easier ways, but also like we do this because it's fucking awesome. It's so fun.
We love it.
And we love film and we're passionate about
we
it.
We love it.
And like I do truly think though that like There are people who should come because it all takes like balance and that's really difficult
it's
for anybody
hard.
To just master because you got to face compromise, but you got to believe in what you really need in that vision.
Yeah.
But you can't be an asshole and you can't be like, no, fuck you, AD. I'm going to do what I want to fucking do.
Yeah.
And then like you said, okay, well then you have all these other responsibilities that you're just going to throw out the window.
Yeah.
So that's fine, but know what you're doing.
Right.
You know?
No, it's a balance. It's a give and take. It's pulling, push and pull, and you push and pull to a part that hopefully everybody's happy, but it's never going to be that way. That's why there's a direct, and I don't know. I just think that's what makes film beautiful though, is finding that medium, right?
Yeah, the balance.
Or that balance. And I do believe that it's every single department standing their ground for things that they can't compromise on that makes a film great.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, like, if the AD doesn't stand their ground on something that they think is a safety issue, right, then shit goes wrong.
Right. Yeah,
if the,
that's true.
Yeah, there's so many things. If the line producer doesn't stand their ground, then they go way over budget and checks bounce. Right? So it's just, hi, boo. Hi. Come here.
Now he wants attention. Are you serious,
Stitch.
Dude?
Oh, fine.
He's so lazy.
He's testing me.
He's testing, and also he thinks
like
oh,
I want
he's
you,
gonna
but
pick
I don't.
Me up.
I want you, but no.
Unbelievable. He's so, he plays hard to get. He's
hard to get.
He's a little diva, but I think I agree because like I guess I just saw the masterclass in like a I guess like in a negative light because like there hasn't been much that like there was a while ago I remembered like Martin Scorsese. Have you read that article where Martin Scorsese like basically called Marvel movies like cinematic hacks and stuff like that?
I remember a movie set memes. There was this whole thing with Scorsese and like things shouldn't be played, like just funny shit like that.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I'm not either. But like it also kind of robs the validity of Marvel films. And I'm not trying to defend a conglomerate like fucking Disney, but I hate to say it though. They make incredible fucking Marvel films.
Mm-hmm.
Like these are Marvel films that I grew up with mm-hmm. that are still like part of my DNA today. Like Iron Man, we talked about that. That I saw that in 2008 in the movie theater, 2 months before The Dark Knight came out.
I love
that. That 2008 was a shittiest fucking year, but the most best year in fucking films. We had Dark Knight, we had Iron Man, we had a few other films too that was like absolutely nuts. I can't remember, but it was mind blowing, and that sort of like shot the trajectory and the formula of what superhero movies are supposed to be, at least superhero origin films.
Sure,
but that is just me who loves the story and also connects it with comic books because I'm naturally love storytelling.
Right,
that's part of what I love, and I feel like they do an absolute fucking amazing job over there.
Yeah.
So to see like another filmmaker that I'm like, that is also equally inspiring in my opinion, like from Taxi Driver all the way to Cape Fear, all the way to Hugo, all the way to, you know, even the Irishman, even though it's 7.5 hours long, it's still like, I saw it and it was good. Like I enjoyed it, but it was just discrediting, whole subgenre of films
right.
that you are just like,
based
oh,
off
dude.
Of your own taste.
Yeah. Because right. you're saying, oh, it's cinematic hack. Like it's just, oh, it's just like fireworks and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's all colors. And it's just like, yeah, but there's, yeah, but no,
it works.
But there's story. There's heart to it. There's yeah. it's a hero's journey, you know?
There's a reason why so many people like it.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And that's not to say that, like, I mean, Martin Scorsese is known to make anti-hero films.
Sure,
that's
sure.
how I like to see it. But yeah. That doesn't discredit his films nonetheless. I still think his movies are fucking amazing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. I just feel like that's an uncalled shot to the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know,
so
whatever.
I think we should give our friend Jake a good 1 minute look at his
Oh,
music
yeah,
video.
Absolutely.
Because we promised we would do that.
My dog's being bad.
So we're going to do that real quick.
I'm going to set that up. Yeah. Give me one.
Okay. I'm going to pull it up and we can take a look at it. Oh, Stitch. Hello, guys. And then we'll take it for a landing because it's been over an hour, I think. okay, let me find. Here. Are you going to get on Instagram and look at? Go. Stand by. Okay. So it was on our, so we got to, yeah, so we got to pull up Instagram and look at the chat yeah. and we might as well pull it up and.
I can pull it up on here.
Okay. Just give it a look. I'm interested in seeing this yeah. action music video.
Also, let me change OBS to share the screen.
Oh, cool. You can do that?
Yeah. Share screen. display capture.
That's neat. So, for those people on Instagram, we are basically going to look at this music video that Jake has sent us the link to. And apparently this program that Adam has allows you to like to share the screen and everything. Yeah. So it's really exciting. We like people trying to make cool shit. It's hard. It's hard. We understand that. Yeah. We're all trying to make cool shit. Sometimes it works, sometimes there's a drive-by and COVID,
yes,
and then it doesn't
work. It happens. Everybody, everybody's freaking out, and
yeah.
not enough people are freaking out. And then also you get equally the irresponsible assholes that don't take safety seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And we've definitely worked on sets before, and I'm sure somebody in chat who also worked in the industry can share the same thing.
Okay.
Do not look at my password.
I'm not going to look at your password. I'm going to look at your password.
Oh, actually, hang on. Hold up. I should switch that there. Okay.
Okay.
Hang on.
Okay. Sorry. We're pulling up a link that one of our listeners sent to us of their music video, and we're really excited to see it and support because that's what we do. And for the, while you're waiting, this is a good time to say, hey, you should go check out Get Realisms, which is the origin of this podcast. It is a book on everything you need to know to survive on a film set. It's what started it all. We decided to do this podcast because we wanted people who wanted to make films to feel like they could. And, yeah.
Karma.
Get Realisms.
Get Realisms.
Go get one.
GetRealisms.com, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Pick it up today.
Yes, online.
We love yous. Hang on. Is that it? Okay. Cool.
Okay, I think we have it.
We do.
Jake Chalmers, I Need a Girl music video. Afrobeats music video. Cool.
And I wanna make sure we're so the Facebook stream's gonna see that right here. So
okay.
Actually, let's put it down.
Damn,
right
I
there,
wish we had
so.
Known that. We should have done that for Dakota's trailer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, it's so impossible to do it over Zoom.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
This is
so
cool. Okay.
This is great. So we're gonna watch Jake Chalmers,
music video.
Music video.
Okay.
Let's watch it.
Karma, nothing short of a hard hater.
Yeah.
Once I was the oppressor, now I am the victim. We are kidnappers.
And how long did this take you to shoot, Jake?
Is someone I'm falling in love with. Will I go against my gang members?
Need a girl, we go hold it down from you. Looks good.
Not the one we got to make a new. I see me, I never get it, man.
It looks great, Jake.
Baby, never do me, can you?
Where are you?
I'm on your bank.
That's
how you find the.
24 hours? Damn, really?
Wow.
We shot day and night. Yeah, yeah. This looks great.
Yeah.
See me, girl. I know, get money.
Okay. Yeah, this looks really, really
slick. Yeah, that's
slick.
Really nice.
You're the main eye. Very cool. And you came up with the concept? This looks really nice. Oh, yeah. We've done the whole light bulb from before.
Yeah. I've done that once. Yeah.
It looks great. Where did you shoot this?
And the song's nice too.
Yeah. Lagos?
Oh. Lagos.
Wow. That's cool. 24 hours. That's pretty damn good. Music videos take forever.
Hang on. Hold on. Sorry.
What happened?
No. I just want to see something. That beanie, I used to have a Gucci beanie exactly like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in high school. I used to have a Gucci beanie, and I someone stole it.
Oh, no.
Someone stole it at a party. That's so funny. It looks the same color. It's yellow and green.
Yeah.
And it's the Gucci symbol in the middle. Yeah, I think I had
the same exact beanie.
I had that beanie.
Badass.
It was a gift from a family member, and I wore that every day, even this summer. Like, I was out of my fucking mind. I wore that thing. Anyway, sorry. I saw that and my ADHD just kind of kicked into high gear.
Jacob, that's cool. It looks awesome. What did you guys shoot it with?
Yeah.
I like a good fire in a music video. I have fire in my music video, too.
Well, in any scene.
Oh, there's the action.
Yeah, the action. Oh, yeah.
That's cool. Did you choreograph the stunts?
I love you, die. What is money, love,
Red Dragon. Yep. That's a good camera. That's cool.
That is, yeah.
I shot a lot of shorts with that Red Dragon and music videos as well. It looks nice. Yeah, it looks great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love bonfires in a scene. I wish I worked with more bonfires. They're so pretty in a shot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not much art shit, clearly, but it's cool.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it depends. It doesn't matter. Wow.
That's great.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing, man.
Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, very, very cool.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That looks great. Shot in Lagos in 24 hours.
24 hours in Lagos.
Very cool.
My gosh. You must have amazing
friends.
Hey,
it doesn't
have
to be perfect. It looks awesome. That's
no, but
that
you have friends to even, like, do that?
Yeah,
like, that's awesome.
That's awesome.
Like,
good job.
Yeah,
yeah,
man.
Thank you for sharing. So that's it.
So that is that it? Hang
that's
on. How
it.
Long have we gone?
I think we've been talking for, like, 2 hours or
an hour.
An hour
and a half.
Okay.
Wow. We did it, you guys.
Yeah, of course.
Holy
Jake,
shit.
Thanks for joining. We really appreciate it. We always love it when people come.
Thank
and
you so
talk
much, you guys.
So,
ladies and gentlemen, that has been the Get Realisms podcast.
Yeah.
Tune in.
A special
maybe
episode because we're actually here.
And
but
we're
look,
here.
I can touch
and
Adam.
We're here. Yeah. We can touch each other. It's great. But I know this is going to be the only time.
Yeah.
It's going to be like once every
years.
Yeah,
I
every
know.
Few years.
Yeah.
But that's fine.
This is
I
very
mean,
special.
You know, it's we're making it work with Zoom and it works with Zoom. We got our better audio equipment. She also got another mic as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're doing fine. But thank you so much, Christine, for being here. I appreciate it. And thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in to this very wonderful episode
of the Get Realisms podcast.
Of the Get Realisms podcast. Thank you so much again,
yes.
you guys.
And of
GetRealisms.com.
Yes, and thank you for, we're happy to play your music video. Thanks for sharing. Yeah, so, and this thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Get one.
Get one today, everybody. Oops, I should have switched that long ass time ago. My bad. Okay, so thank you so much, everybody. GetRealisms.com. Pick up your book today. UrsleyFilm.com
yes,
for all the previous
episodes.
It's coming
out soon. It's coming out soon.
It's coming out soon.
It's coming
and
out. We'll announce it
listen
once I know.
To previous episodes. If you want to know more about this little Ursley thing we did, please look back into the old episodes in the archives because it was a spiritual journey nonetheless, ladies and gentlemen. And yeah, that's it. So thank you so much, Instagram. Thank you so much, Facebook. That has been...
Can you pin the name of the book? Yes. Here, I'll put it
in. Oh, yeah.
It is Get Realism. Oh, shit. Can you spell my own brand? .com. There it is. And we ship internationally.
Shipping internationally, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, that has been it. Episode 74. Tune in next week. Maybe, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to do this next
week. We're
going
to do it next week.
Are you, wait,
next
week you're in Shreveport?
I'm in Shreveport next week, yes.
Okay, so the next time we'll be talking, you'll be in Shreveport.
I'll be in Shreveport, yes. I'll be in Shreveport.
Wait, do you have your mic too?
Yes.
Okay, okay.
I
it's
have
just,
it, yeah.
you were just busy today.
Yeah,
okay.
I just
That's understandable.
Yeah.
All right then, ladies and gentlemen, that's it.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Bye, Jake. Bye,
guys.
And
we'll see you later next week. Bye-bye. Bye.